That last book you read, do you realize how much planning went into the selection of the type and the design? One of the features of the Festival of Contemporary Art is modern printing. Next week there will be a lecture on modern printing by R. Hunter Middleton, a type designer and educator in the field of books and book design. This morning, Professor D.D. Jackson, one of the editors of the University Press, will discuss some of the problems of book and type design and the role of R. Hunter Middleton in the printing industry. Professor Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Milburn, and good morning. Now and then, when we're reading or talking about art, we run across the term graphic art. Well, the graphic arts are simply those arts which involve flat surfaces, such as paper. We draw a picture on a piece of paper and we're practicing graphic art. Or the term still applies when we paint on canvas or make an etching on a flat copper plate. Even photography can be included in the graphic arts because it involves images produced on a flat surface. Well, one of the graphic arts that we run across most often in our daily lives is printing. And this year, for the first time, the Festival of Contemporary Art here at the university has included modern printing as one of its features. Those of you who have been visiting the several exhibits around the campus lately have no doubt seen the display of modern books in the corridors of the library. There are books designed by two well-known typographers in New York, Merle Armitage and Paul Rand. And also, there are examples of the work being done here at Illinois by the University Press, specifically by Ralph Eckerstrom, who is the art editor at the Press. But today, I want to tell you more directly about the lecture which is scheduled for next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock in the library. Coming down from Chicago for this talk is R. Hunter Middleton, who's an old hand at talking about books. And the title of his lecture is Books and Type in Mid-Century. Well, that leaves Mr. Middleton with a pretty wide field to explore, and there's no use trying to predict which road he's going to take. However, before I tell you a little more about Middleton himself, I want to talk for a while about books and how they're designed. It's pretty reasonable to suppose that the average reader doesn't think very much about the design of a book as long as it's easy to read. Well, the catch to that is that a well-designed book is one that is easy to read. That's a part of the game. But there is more to design than mere legibility. A book designer tries to make his book a thing that's original and pleasing, as well as easy to read. And that includes more than just the type. He considers the kind of paper, for instance. He has to worry about the margins on the page, the chapter headings, the placement of pictures, the proper use of charts and tables if it's a textbook or a reference book. And then there's the title page. That's the page which contains the title of the book, the author's name, the name of the publishing company. And there a designer has a chance to exercise quite a bit of imagination. With a title page, he tries to set the stage for the text, to put the reader into the right frame of mind. In other words, to create a physical environment for the text of the book. Now, some printers have a theory that if the reader tends to like the way a book is made, if its appearance pleases him, he'll find it easier to read. And then it stands to reason that if he finds it easier to read, he'll probably get more out of the book. Now, a part of this feeling is real and part is imaginary. There are concessions a printer must make to our eyes and the way they work. We can't easily read a line of type that's too long, for example, and lines that are too close together are hard to read. Well, that's the imaginary part. The real part is a little harder. Perhaps you think you must be in a certain frame of mind to read Elizabethan poetry. If you do, then a book of Shakespeare's sonnets, let's say, if it's designed to help you get into that frame of mind, is a help to you in reading. One of the books in the exhibit over in the library, written and designed by Armitage, is about modern printing. And I think that Armitage summarizes pretty well in a few sentences what he tries to accomplish in book design and probably what every designer tries to accomplish. And here are some of the things he says. One, allow the subject of the book to determine its design and format. In other words, you wouldn't expect a book of delicate poetry to be set in heavy, bold type with a brassy appearance. Point number two, design a book for effortless reading. Three, use the prime material, type, paper, and space, to achieve your result. Meaningless decorations reveal the designer's poverty of invention. Four, simplicity is the best policy. And point number five is pretty true. A brilliantly designed book can't save a dull text or a poorly written text. It's possible that I may have misled you up to now by talking about book design. You perhaps think that Mr. Middleton is a book designer. Well, actually, he is not. Primarily a book designer. In his spare time, he's a book collector, an amateur printer, and an all-round lover of good books. But his real profession is type designing. In other words, he draws new typefaces for use in the printing of books. You know, the letters, the characters with which books are printed don't just happen. Someone has got to painstakingly design and draw them, and to make each kind of type have a personality of its own. And that's Middleton's profession. He got interested in the graphic arts for the first time back in 1922, and at that time he was studying up in Chicago at the School of the Art Institute. And 1922 was the year that the Art Institute directors decided to open up a new section entitled the Department of Printing Arts. And like a lot of artists who suddenly come into contact with the craft of printing, he decided that it was a challenging field. So there he was, embarked on a career of typography and type design. He studied the basic letter forms. He learned a great deal about lettering and what we call calligraphic handwriting. That's writing with a broad, stubby pen in the manner of the ancient scribes. And during his last year at the Art Institute, Middleton got to do some type designing for a company in Chicago. That company was the Ludlow Company, and it makes a great deal of the type for use with a certain kind of mechanical typesetting machine. Well, this introduction to the reality of practical work gave young Middleton his first feeling of confidence that he might do well in the art of type design. And as a result, he got a full-time job with the Ludlow Company. He's still there, and for the past several years, he's been director of the Department of Typeface Design for Ludlow. During the quarter century that he's worked for Ludlow, he's been able to design and produce the working drawings for about 65 typefaces. Most of them are in daily use in the graphic arts industries. We won't stop now for a lesson in typefaces, but you might be interested in the names of some of them. There's Ludlow Bodoni, named after the great Italian designer of the 18th century. And there's a typeface called Garamond, and that one is patterned after the type of Claude Garamond, first used way back in the 1500s in France. You know, almost all of the typefaces used in book design are reminiscent of the old, old types which were developed in Europe a long time ago, but they do have a modern character of their own. If you read a newspaper, which of course you do, you've seen a lot of Middleton's typefaces, such as Stellar, Tempo, Karnak, Coronet, Radiant, and a lot of others. In connection with his work, Middleton has written two books. One is called Chicago Letter Founding, came out in 1937, and his other book, Making Printers' Typefaces, came out the following year. From time to time, he's written articles for the printing journals on the subject of letter design and typography. And ever so often, he leaves Chicago to speak to graphic arts groups around the country, just as he's going to do here Wednesday night. A little while ago, I said that Middleton was an amateur printer. He operates a private press that I want to tell you something about. A private press is any small press, usually having just a few pieces of equipment and a few cases of type, which is operated for fun. Not especially for profit, but just for fun. There are a lot of bankers and firemen and professors in this country who enjoy setting type by hand and printing little books on hand presses, and Middleton is one of these. He calls his press the Cherryburn Press, and the Christmas cards that he and Mrs. Middleton send out every year are printed there, and he does a number of small items now and then, but one project in particular that he's carried through has brought him international recognition. He got possession of some woodcuts, that is, the original wooden blocks, which had been cut about 150 years ago by the great English woodcut artist Thomas Buick. And he issued a Thomas Buick portfolio, which contained 24 of those prints taken by him directly from the original blocks. Well, I ran across a review which appeared in the literary supplement of the London Times about this portfolio, and I think I'll read some of it. Mr. R. Hunter Middleton has shown his admiration for the greatest of English wood engravers in a manner which would have given Buick himself more gratification than 1,000 admiring adjectives. For he has printed 24 original Buick blocks as their cutter knew they ought to be printed, but probably never saw them save on his own proofing press. Buick's own account of the practical difficulties of getting his blocks properly printed is well known. Better known are the smudgy travesties exhibited in many of the books themselves, especially the reprints. Mr. Middleton has taken Buick's words as a direct commission to seek out every better way of printing his blocks, and this pious resolve has been carried out with such skill that these cuts, in their elegant little portfolio, achieve a very high standard throughout. In several instances, they have a degree of brilliance and delicacy which might well dazzle their creator. It is greatly to be hoped that the Cherryburn Press will be encouraged to fulfill its printer's promise of further portfolios. The collection of original blocks from which this selection has been made was a large one, and since when it was sold in London a few years ago, Buick's fellow countrymen let it go for a pitifully modest sum, we ought to be thankful as well as ashamed that he is being so handsomely honored in another country. That's the end of a quotation from the London Times Literary Supplement. After he had played around with these old wood blocks for so long, Middleton developed an interest in wood engraving himself. And since he's an expert type designer and maker of fine letters, he started to engrave letter forms in reverse on decorative panels. And most of these have been adapted to book plates. Another of his avocations is the making of decorative papers for binding books. And he uses the paste paper technique, in which colored paste is spread on paper and then worked with various instruments such as a comb until a design is achieved. During his professional career, Middleton has also been interested in many organizations which are concerned with raising the standards of design in the graphic arts. He was one of the founders of the Society of Typographic Arts in Chicago in 1927. In fact, he was the first secretary of that organization, and he served for 15 years. I think that Professor Donovan here on the campus in the art department is also a member of that society. Middleton was elected to the rank of fellow of the society in 1936, and just lately he was elected to honorary membership. He's also a member of the American Institute of Graphic Arts, the Caxton Club in Chicago, the Chicago Art Directors Club, and many others. In 1949, Middleton was honored by Transylvania University down in Kentucky by the conferring of the degree of Doctor of Fine Arts. Well, I've given you practically the life story of Mr. Middleton. Seems to me an interesting life to have led, and it should have produced a lot of lore, a lot of anecdotes, a lot of good solid information about the world of books and printing. So the talk that he's going to give here next Wednesday should have plenty of substance and plenty of interest for many people. It's going to be in the library here on the campus. The room number is 118. You'll find that room just around the corner to the left as you go into the north door of the library. I think that Mr. Middleton is planning to bring down some slides to illustrate his talk, and Professor Lancour of the library school has promised the use of any or all of the equipment that he has for projecting those slides. So the audience can expect to see some title pages, perhaps some illustrative material on the designing of type, and so on. The time of the lecture is 8 o'clock in the evening next Wednesday, and the place, once more so that no one might forget, is room 118 in the library. And if you do happen to forget the location and the time, you can find out from the official festival catalog. Now I'll turn the microphone back to Dean Wilburn.
Professor D.D. Jackson, one of the editors of the University Press, has just presented a discussion of the art of fine printing.